We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is behind the iPad today. And our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Karen Johnson. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm very good. Our company has left.
Now it's time to relax.
For the next wave. Praise the Lord.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get those uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford, Lincoln in Elk City. If you'd like an entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of June, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. The book is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Pastor Joshua West. I think I covered it all. Got the thumbs up.
You did good. You have a beautiful smile.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing so great, and I am so glad you're here. Me and Miss Neva appreciate you so much, Tina. You're doing wonderful.
I am so blessed to be here. Thank you. I love you guys, too. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Oh, yeah. Father God, so many people don't know you as Father. And Lord, I just come before you, humbly submitting myself and surrendering to your will, Father. Humble the humility of mind and trying to walk out by the power of the Holy Spirit everything you have designed, everything you have called us to do. May we be ever alert to obey your will and your commandments, Father God. We thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we know there's many sick among us. Father, let them arise in faith and be healed, and you align them with your word to be set free. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I like your title.
Yeah.
Psalm 23.
Yes, I memorized that when I was 14, and along with many other things, but it's hard to memorize as you age.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was always stuck with me, and I can always recall the words. And I trusted the Lord as my shepherd throughout very difficult times in my life. And so I was studying Psalm 23, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful text. And in the days that we are in, I just believe that people need to know that He is shepherding you. He is guiding you. He's directing you if you will just surrender and yield to the gentle touch of Him. And many, many times I have wanted to be quiet and lie down in green pastures. But the Lord is my shepherd, for those who've never read it, says it's a Psalm of David. And David was a man after God's own heart. And to do that, you have to give your life over to God completely. And so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's actually a hymn, and it builds confidence in the Lord. And as I was a child, and my father wasn't with us, he was had remarried, and so, you know, you don't feel covered. You don't feel as if you are totally protected. So my mother made sure we went to church, Sunday school, and VBS and all that to learn and believe in God. And I really feel sorry for the people who never had that blessing. Mm-hmm. Because it turns out it truly is a blessing. Even though you didn't want to go as a kid, it turns out to be a huge, huge blessing. And so I wanted to point out there are two images. The Lord who shepherds you cares for his sheep. Mm-hmm. And there are two images, and that's one. And then the Lord is the host who cares for his guest. These images could be familiar from everyday experience, but they evoke from ideas common in the ancient Near East, with the deity as a shepherd of his people and the deity as a host of the meal. In worship, the faithful celebrate God's greatness and majesty, and when they sing this psalm, they see his majesty in the way he personally attends to each of his covenant lambs. He is the shepherd for Israel as a whole, and in being such, he is the shepherd for each faithful Israelite as well, and each Christian as well. And so the beauty of what people don't understand is that a lot of people, and I know I didn't until I went to counseling training years ago. That was about 30 years ago. And I saw a lot of people pass through the office there. And they weren't taught that we're a three-part person, spirit, soul, and body, and how powerful the flesh is, and how powerful the mind is if it's not renewed. Mm-hmm. And we deceive ourselves if we don't renew our mind, because it's a perfect trap for the enemy. So to overcome the flesh, one has to really, really get in the Word. But you almost need a disciple or a covenant partner to walk with you and share, because you're just eating milk at the time. And even though I was raised in the church and knew, understood a lot of things, I still didn't have him as a personal, close Savior. And I wasn't filled, at least I didn't feel like I was, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until I was 34 and came to Elk City that I really started watching people and watching those who really had victory in their life and had covenant marriages and were raising their children and protecting them like a hen takes care of her chicks. And I thought, man, that's different. I wonder where they learned that, or how they understood to do that. And even though my grandmother, who truly did take care of us, a shelter and food and all that, she was probably a Proverbs 31 woman. And I look back on it, because she stayed home with us and gave us comfort and security and love and the things the Father God does. And so she didn't talk much. She cooked a lot. And she was probably tired. Yeah. You know, she was probably exhausted. But anyway, it was a beautiful time. And as I grew up, and I recognized it was almost like a double life. You know, you could go, if you didn't know how to keep victory and walk in the Word and overcome the evil that's out there, you're perfect game and prey for the evil. And I didn't have how to put on the armor, didn't know how to speak or decree anything. other than, you know, quietly pray the Lord's Prayer and quote Psalm 23, and which probably protected me from a lot, but it was still, I didn't have an identity other than I said I was a Christian in front of the church at 14 and took communion. And that didn't qualify. I mean, God did show me I was saved at that time. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I was so weak, I didn't know how to do anything or how to walk this out. So there's so much to walking with a friend and being strong and having courage, or going to a Bible study and listening to how the victory that everyone has or how they're overcoming. And I had a really hard time because my family was German. And there's lots of darkness in the German line and genetically. And my father was a World War II vet. He was severely traumatized. So that was in my DNA. I know all this now, but I felt like I was boxing shadows at the time. And so I would say this psalm not knowing what I was really fighting, you know. Just trusting by faith, and I've been called an apostle of faith because I had such great faith to come out of the well, come out of the dark hole, rabbit hole, whatever it was. I was down in there deep. You know, it was very dark down there. But Christ shined his light greater and greater and greater as I obeyed and studied and did precept Bible studies. I did all kinds of stuff and just trying to grow. How do you do this, God? But he does show you, he does tell you, he does lead you, and he does feed you. And one time someone said, you're just warring to prayer, but you don't have to war to pray. Just sit very still, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to pray. He will speak to you on who to pray for. And that way you hit the mark, you hit the target. Because it's his will, his heart that you're aligned with. Because I was so burdened. All these lists, long lists to pray for. And I thought, God, is this really how you want us to pray? Anyway, I learned from the Lord that the Holy Spirit leads in prayer. And not a bunch of people shouting and screaming and yelling and all that. Because they're just not meeting my purpose or will. Now, I'm sure they can defend their position, but it wasn't how God wanted me to pray.
Right.
So, and so the Lord is cares for us and feeds us and meets our needs and protects us because it's a covenant relationship. It's a two-way relationship with him, like a marriage should be. And so the Lord treats, we're like sheep, okay? So our soul has an appetite, a mind, a desire, an emotion, and passion. We have desires that sometimes we can't control. We don't even know why we're OCDing, why we're craving, why we want this. What are we trying to fix? Why are we craving so much? Well, there's usually a root. There's usually your body is communicating to you that there's unresolved issues. And so I went years resolving issues with God and cutting off roots and filling them with the Holy Spirit and the Word. And so by doing that, he restores, he refreshes, and he heals. I had such a broken heart and a wounded spirit and a shattered mind back in 19 when I was first met Women's Aglow. God led me to that, and Susan Phelps was the president at the time. And I think they wanted me to be a leader, and I was looking for help myself. And they would have very powerful, powerful meetings that would break any unbelief of religion or anything or any confusion or double-mindedness. What the people they had brought in were powerful speakers and ministers. So I was learning from the Lord that He uses other people to speak to you as well, but don't go running ahead of God. Mm-hmm. You know, let God show you, yes, I brought this person in your life. You know, no, that's a counterfeit. You know, that person is not, it's a wolf. So as sheep, well, things you'd learn about sheep is that they are pretty dumb. the beauty of the Lord is He's a constant shepherd, and He knows how to keep the herd, move the herd into green pastures and eat the right food and eat the better green grass into clear water. And so the beauty of God, you know, He has the wisdom to take you where you need to go. Mm-hmm. And where you lead, I will follow, that whole hymn. And He will take you to a watering place, a river, a creek, and calls you to rest and bring you to be refreshed. And I think that was so beautiful how He wrote that, how David... but there's lots of facts about sheep I wanted to share that I thought was very interesting. And so we say, who is speaking in Psalm 23? If He is in the Good Shepherd's care, why does He need restoration? Psalm 42:11 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Help the help of my countenance and my God." So in Old English, the shepherd is when the sheep are cast down. And I've been cast down many times. And I always needed help for somebody to upright me. Or why is this happening to me? Because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you feel like you're in friendly fire. Mm-hmm. You're getting shot out by people like Job. You know, his mm-hmm. friends were trying to do good and tell you what you should be doing, but none of that witnessed to me. I knew there was something else going on. And not only does a shepherd look for lost sheep, he watches the sky. And if the shepherd doesn't catch the sheep that's cast down, it'll die because it cannot upright itself because mm-hmm. there's no blood in its legs. Even the healthiest sheep, the strongest sheep, the largest sheep can become cast.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. I thought, oh, okay. So, you know, you think, well, is that an example of pride? You know, he's going to upright, kind of like that submarine. Mm-hmm. You know, those people thought they were going to go do this, and they were very foolish. Mm-hmm. When you look at all the facts about it and stuff, it was like, just because you have got money doesn't mean that this is a good thing to do.
Right.
And you're going down to a ship that was sunk because it's a great example of pride. And so how does it happen? How does all this work? And a sheep will find a hollow or a deep depression and stretch out to become comfortable. Your sofa. A chair. Yeah, and the center of gravity shifts. Sheep flounder and frantically paw the air, making it worse. Mm. How many times you've been frantic and think, I don't know what to do, God? Mm-hmm. And the gases build up in their system. The blood circulation to the legs is cut off, and death can occur in hours.
Wow.
If it is hot because of the wool. And do this. I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And you have to move them. That's why cattlemen don't like sheep, is because they literally overgraze. They will eat the grass all the way down to the root. And so the shepherd has to move the sheep constantly to new pastures. They're creatures of habit. And then you wonder why.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? And there's a strong parallels here. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting you brought up what you brought up, because it's they require handling and detailed direction. And that's why I guess they have sheepdogs and mm-hmm. the hook, the shepherd's hook, and kind of mm-hmm. keep them together. They'll overgraze, inviting parasites. And the parasites will get in their brain and they die. Mm. Interesting. You know how many lies and gossip and slander and, yeah. And you die spiritually. Mm-hmm. If you believe and pass that on. I mean, you just, God doesn't tolerate that. Mm-hmm. And so they blindly follow one another on the same trails. So rabbit trails, I mean, you could be going this way, going that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's why in churches divide. You know, it's like they're not deep enough in the waters of God and the Word of God to discern what's going on and how the enemy is working, and they fall for tricks of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Instead of checking out if what they heard was true. It's so sad. The shepherd keeps the sheep on the move. So, you know, it's good to explore and feed yourself and look into the depths and look up words, do word studies, maybe look in the Greek and the Hebrew and kind of really look at what was really said here. Mm-hmm. And why. And then look at the types and shadows, the patterns, because the Bible is written in a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't miss much. You know, I don't know what who they think God is. But so to keep them on the move, and he has a predetermined plan for them to rotate around the pasture. I've seen sheep sheared, but I've never really tried to herd them. So Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Doing what I want. That's what that means. And when you really think about it and you sit still with the Lord, you think, forgive me for doing what I want instead of what you want. And what do you want me to do today? And because we do get busy. Mm-hmm. And we do get tired. And it's pretty challenging to hold back the rein and the bridle on yourself to say no. You know, no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. You know? No, I'm not going to do that. No, no. If you're a people pleaser, especially.
Yes.
No. And people are shocked when you say no. But it does set a boundary, mm-hmm. doesn't it? And Proverbs 14:12 says, "This is the way that seems right to a man, mm-hmm. but its end is the way of death. We follow the path we want. It ends badly." And I've done that the first half of my life, I think. Same. Well, I was so convinced I knew. It's odd how that deception, self-deception works, the self-denial. And Neil Anderson, when he led me to that in 1992, I believe, I knew God had answered my prayer, because it talks about identity and fears and how to get set free and how to renounce the stuff and how to use scripture to get yourself delivered. And I did that so much. And I was just amazed. And when I gave it to people who came to see me, they were shocked, because they said, "Well, the enemy kept telling me I wasn't saved." And I said, "Well, read this statement of faith. Read what it means to be saved out loud. Tell the enemy out loud, because he's a spiritual being, mm-hmm. what you really believe." And when they would do that, all of a sudden, they got pink. The life came up through them, and they could feel his presence. And they said, "Well, I didn't think I was even knowing." And I said, "Well, you just confessed. You said out loud what you believe, and God is faithful. Mm-hmm. You know, he's there for you." And they were just ecstatic over the confirmation and how the enemy had just beat them up with lies. Mm-hmm. And he does that so well. But God has the truth. And if we will do what he, as sheep gone astray, we can just sit down and ask for the shepherd. I have literally felt like I could feel his hand on my shoulder sometimes because, you know, you're just so desperate and miserable. Mm-hmm. And he knows. So for me to trust him like I did, even my husband said, I don't see how you can trust somebody you can't see. I said, well, I feel him.
Right.
I know him. And I said, when I read the word, I feel him. And I trust him. And he said, well, that's because your parents raised you to really believe in God. And I said, yeah, and in the word. And he said, no, I don't know that I had that experience. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you you never know where someone is.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
They could be sitting beside you in a pew, and you never know unless you ask. Mm-hmm. And I've had a couple of people sitting next to me in the pew that ended their life. They were so depressed. Mm-hmm. But you never know it. You know, the mask thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can cover up a multitude of things with a smile, cheerleader mm-hmm. face or whatever it is. But, and that made me really sad that that can happen. That is so prevalent. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. But we don't like to follow. Or to be led. Oh, and sometimes the enemy can really disguise his voice, but he's so tricky, crafty, and manipulation, or power suggestion, or mm-hmm. shaming you mm-hmm. into being beaten down, or you feel guilty and you're not even. Didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about all these things of how the enemy works. And it's amazing how the brain chemistry changes when you believe a lie versus when you believe the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what they're discovering with the brain and the sciences of it. And there's even counselors trained in neuroscience to see how the word of God changes your mind as you renew it. God already knew that, or he wouldn't have said in Romans to renew your mind, be transformed mm-hmm. by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I heard so clearly, it's like he dropped me an airmail. Be ye transformed. Now, you are transformed by your in the heart, so you are a new creature in Christ. And I did not know where that was in the Bible even. And I thought, well, that's really good. As my heart was healed in him and my mind had clarity, see, I didn't want to take drugs.
Right.
I just wanted to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And those drugs make you feel funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my husband even flushed down Xanax because I was having anxiety attacks, panic attacks. And I just thought, what am I going to do? And Dennis Friesen was my doctor at the time. And he gave me a shot and told me to go to bed for 3 days. Which was good because I was so in such a state of mind. And when I awakened, you know, I was refreshed. I don't know what God did during that time, but he continued to lead me. I read a book about a pastor who battled rejection from the pulpit. He could not conquer rejection. And so he got alone, he fasted and prayed and said, God, what am I battling? Why is it such a stronghold? And God told him, he said, you have emotional wounds. You have emotional damage that needs to be healed. Let me heal them. Let the Holy Spirit expose them, which is hard to do because you don't want to admit or remember anything particularly that was painful. Mm-hmm. And God said, don't be afraid of anything, Karen. Just turn the doorknob and open that door of hope and walk through there. I'm on the other side. But it took a real act of faith in me, an act of my will, to reach for the doorknob and turn it. And I'll never forget it because I was like, I don't know whether to believe or not because that was so painful, God. I don't know. I don't want to re-experience it. What if it's worse, you know? And he just kept comforting me and comforting me. And then so I opened the door and a flood of his love and comfort came over me. And so I know that he means what he says what he means. And to trust him, it's very important to follow him and not others. I think the armor of God helps a lot in not listening or hearing the powers of suggestion, which is witchcraft, and to be manipulated, because that's what the media does. I mean, it's all over around us. Mm-hmm. And marketing, sales, they'll tell you whatever you want to hear just so they get your money. Kind of thing, but or to hurt you. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that will just try to stop you in your tracks. You aren't who you think you are. You'll never serve God. We have rules against you. Mm-hmm. You're a female. You're a woman. You know, so that's why I formed my own 501(c) is Victorious Life Foundation, because I knew God had called me. Mm-hmm. And I knew what God wanted me to do. And I got healed along the process. So as I was helping people, I got healed. So it was really important for me to obey, because I wasn't getting that where I was and where my husband wanted to go. So I was pretty desperate. I think I know every church in the county. But so John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, you can read that, and you can read that, and you can read that. And it ultimately says, do you trust God? Mm. Do you honestly, deep down, spirit, soul, and body, trust God? And I've asked several people that. Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him with your money? Do you trust him with your children? Do you trust him in your marriage? Do you trust him to do what is best? And I don't encourage anybody who's in an abusive situation to stay in that situation. In fact, the training I had was to ask for a separation. Mm-hmm. For 6 months. You both go to counseling, get help, get prayer, get set free. Then if you still love each other, come together and do couples counseling for a year and get your mind straight as to why there was so much conflict. So I even had a husband and wife turn and face each other and use the Neil Anderson prayer on forgiveness. And at first they didn't want to do it. But I just said, you know, you go first. You say that. You look in his eyes and you say that. She didn't want to do it. And so he said, well, I'll go first. So he went first. And, of course, they're both crying. And it was a miracle. Because when somebody says, you're the problem, I'm not the problem, they usually have the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, the accuser always points back. So when she did it, she got a revelation that she has so much pain that she had never dealt with, and that pain was coming out against him. Mm-hmm. So they both wept on each other's shoulders. They both hugged each other and took the Neil Anderson Freedom in Christ prayers home with them to work through. But it was beautiful to see the power of God in obeying the simplest key for being set free is forgiveness.
Yep. We were just talking about that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to see someone restored.
Now a good time for a little break.
I have a glory story.
I'm going to stop and start real quick.